This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
We don't need a second resolution. It's clear this guy could even care less about the first resolution. He's in total defiance of 1441. But we want to work with our friends and allies to see if we can get a second resolution. That's what we're doing right now.
President Bush speaking Tuesday at a White House press conference. The U.S. and Great Britain plan to introduce a second U.N. resolution early next week, authorizing the use of force against Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the U.S. and Britain would need the backing of seven other Security Council members for their resolution, for a total of nine. Regardless of what the count is, how do they avoid vetoes at this point from France, China, and or Russia?
Well, China and Russia may in the end be willing to abstain for the sake of future relations with the United States. France can always be counted on to stick a finger in Uncle Sam's eye, especially after that round of applause that Foreign Minister de Villepin got in the Security Council last Friday, opposing the use of force. Well, I'll tell you, Scott, another issue has now arisen that may preempt the whole fight over the resolution, who's going to veto it. Inspector Hans Blix has sent the Iraqis a letter telling them that they must destroy the Al-Samud missiles they have because the range is over 92 miles permitted in 1991 peace settlement. Blix has given them until March 1st to start actually destroying those missiles. If Saddam Hussein doesn't comply, this could well be the casus belli, the concrete breach that the United States has been looking for.
The smoking gun or the smoldering missile?
Smoldering missile. Very good.
Let me ask you another avenue of this story. The U.S. and Turkey have reached a broad agreement to base American soldiers in Turkey in the event of war. Now Turkey reportedly is asking for an aid package of $30 billion. Latest offer from the U.S. is $26 billion in grants and low-interest loans. A few billion here, a few billion there. Other than $4 billion, how far apart are these two allies on Iraq?
Well, apparently not so far apart, but that it's going to be settled this weekend. The word that comes from Ankara is that they're very close to a settlement and that it will happen. You know, Scott, one way when you need allies to get allies is to ask them what they need in the way of compensation. And then you could form what you call the coalition of the billing. Sorry.
No. That's a clever one. I've had to sit through a few other ones that have been harder to laugh at, but that's a good one.
Apparently, also nearing a solution is another dispute involving Turkey, this one with NATO. Turkey wanted NATO to start helping them with a defense against a possible Iraqi attack that was blocked by the vetoes of France, Germany, and Belgium. Apparently, there's a deal of some sort there also, but those informed sources say it looks like a solution within the next week.
Let me ask you about, as we can read them this weekend, the reflected viewpoints of the American public. University of Maryland poll came out this week that showed a majority of Americans support a war in Iraq, but at the same time, they want UN inspections to continue.
Yeah.
There was a similar finding in a poll by the Pew Center that said that an increasing number of Americans say the U.S. needs more allies in any attack on Iraq. What do these findings mean for President Bush?
Well, the bottom line seems to be that Americans agree that something has to be done about the menace of Saddam Hussein, but they would prefer that America not do it alone. The idea of inspection always has an appealing sound to it, back to the days when President Reagan said, trust but verify. We'll soon know from the response on Samud missiles whether inspection works or not. What the polls will show about President Bush's frequent assertions that if we don't disarm, we will disarm them, whether they'll continue to be very much in favor of this when they're confronted with a concrete possibility of a real war remains to be seen.
And let's turn now to North Korea. Secretary of State Powell is in Tokyo today. He's a five-day trip to Asia. He's already had a dinner meeting with the Prime Minister of Japan. Officially, he's in Asia to attend the inauguration of South Korea's new president. But
yes. He's
also visiting every one of North Korea's neighbors. What do you believe the Secretary is hoping to accomplish on this visit?
Well, first of all, as mentioned previously, he'll ask China not to veto the resolution that would set the stage for war with Iraq. And then, with regard to North Korea, the Secretary is asking Japan to join the United States in resuming food shipments to North Korea, which both those countries have suspended. And it's interesting what our Secretary of State says. There are kids out there that are still starving. We don't use food as a political weapon. I don't know how it will sit with everybody in the United States, But there is Powell saying, yeah, we have big problems with North Korea, but there are kids starving, so we're going to send food.
Let me ask finally about about Homeland Security. Nation is still on orange alert, although it must be said there seems to be less of state of alarm apparent in the public about orange alert. This week, Security Secretary Tom Ridge said that Americans should stash away the duct tape. Wouldn't going to be necessary quite right now. At the same time, the Pentagon is issuing what they characterized as escape hoods to their employees.
Right, and you'll be happy to know that the press at the Pentagon will be getting these safe hoods also.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
So Tom Jilton is a safe man, at least from the neck up.
That's him. Yes.
I hope he doesn't appreciate that, or he does appreciate that characterization. Do you believe that the administration is sending out mixed messages on the whole matter of internal security?
Well, they will almost admit they're sending mixed messages. Tom Ridge says that the slogan for this week is calm with caution. A wonderful way of balancing one thing or another. Mm-hmm. And he told this audience in Cincinnati that it's not always easy to know the right thing to do and the right thing to say. He strikes the balance by saying, this is a real challenge every day to find how to... If he's perplexed, how do the rest of us are supposed to feel? Ridge also gets this $1.2 million he wants for a ready campaign. That is a public relations effort to let people know to go where they go for information in a crisis. That can't be an easy job that Governor Ridge signed on for. And the difficulty of trying to keep Americans in the know, calm, but caution, calm, all of that, it's a mess.
Let me ask you at the same time. Everybody else talks about the weather, but you and I never talk about the weather. Well, this week, I guess for the one in every three Americans who live up and down the eastern seaboard, the weather seemed to be a preeminent topic. And the three-day rations that Secretary Ridge at one point had recommended, cereal bars and stuff that people might want to keep in the event of an emergency, I suspect were eaten by a lot of people who just didn't want to get out of the house. Do you think that... How do you think the weather affected the mood of a nation that's under orange alert?
Well, that's interesting. If you sit in a car spinning its wheels, or you look for something to amuse the kids who are staying home from school, there's a kind of concreteness to that, which the orange crisis lacks. But something else that struck me during the recent snowstorms in the Northeast is how people extend themselves to help each other. I cannot tell you how many young people offered me an arm to cross a slushy street, mm-hmm. or offered to help to bring down luggage from an overhead rack on the plane or on the train. What am I to say? But I think that America is at its best in a blizzard.
Let me ask you about this finally. Michael Jordan scored 43 points last night. At the age of 40, he became the oldest player ever to score that many points. So I was mentally figuring out, if Michael Jordan, Mr. Jordan, scored 43 points at the age of 40, if they let you back out on the court, Dan, you could challenge Wilt Chamberlain's record.
Well, you're saying that only jokingly, but I think that what is shown by this is something we all have to keep in mind, is don't write off old people. They can still do things.
Okay, thanks very much. And I meant Wilt Chamberlain's score. Record, basketball.